Well, good morning. This morning, we are continuing on with the series that we've been doing. We are looking at the Ten Commandments, and so we're kind of on the downhill side of those. We've looked at several of the Ten Commandments so far. We've got through five of them, actually. We've talked about how God is supremely to be worshipped, that He is the only one who deserves worship, that we are to worship Him only, and the fact that we cannot craft an image that is representative of Him, so we need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We talked about the fact that we are to carry God's name the way that it should be carried, and not to take that name in vain, and it means so much more than just connecting it with a cuss word, even though we do want you not to do that. That's not a good idea, but it means a lot more than just that. And also, we talked about rest and the importance of rest, and the fact that if you don't rest, your body will without you, and it may be in a hospital. And then last week, we looked at the idea of honoring your parents and honoring authority and honoring the people who deserve respect and giving that to those who deserve it. And by doing so, we have the opportunity to change society. And so today we're gonna be in chapter 20 again of Exodus. And Exodus, we're gonna start at a command, or we're gonna have a command today that you probably are very familiar with. And you're probably really excited you've never broke this command. and so the command is, do not murder. Or some of your texts may say, do not kill. And so we want to look at the idea of us not taking someone else's life. That's not a good thing for us to do. And so we're starting in these, they're kind of quick fire commands. And so we're going to start in do not murder, and then we're going to get in the next few ones over the next few weeks. And so today we're going to circle in on this idea, and you probably say, well, I haven't murdered, and so why am I here today? Good question. You are here today because I think the fact that do not murder is in Scripture is an important aspect. Obviously, God puts them in the Big Ten. But when we look at do not murder, I think there are other implications for our life that we can draw from this. And I want you to see, and I want us to help you pull out some of the truth behind the idea that it's not just about not killing someone, but it has repercussions and it has implications for the rest of our life. And it's some probably more practical ways for you, because most of you are not planning on going to shoot someone or kill someone. Even if you're married and you might have thought of it, you're not going to do it, right? Right? Okay, good. I was worried we'd have to report some of you. But so what we want to do is we want to grab this command and try to see what God wants us to do. So God commands us not to murder, and that means a lot more than just taking someone's life. And so by the end of today, I want you to respect life. Respect life, and what are some of the implications for that? So in the book of the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 13, it simply says, do not murder. In Hebrew, it's two words, lo, which means don't, and the word for murder. So don't murder. And so it's very simple. And so I want us to grab these ideas of not to murder, and let's pull out what Jesus or what God is trying to teach us here. The first thing is this, is that we need a love life. You need a love life. This command says don't murder. And I know your Bible may say don't kill, which is somewhat similar to that. But the concept of murder has another connotation than just killing. Like you can accidentally kill someone. You can accidentally take someone's life. For example, you could be driving and there'd be a pedestrian walking in the middle of the night and they're wearing dark clothes and for some reason they're in the road and you accidentally hit them. You've taken their life. Have you broken the sixth command though? I don't think so. Because the implication and the connotation of do not murder is that it's a premeditated intentional taking of someone's life. That you are going to say, I want to kill that person. And you go and you kill that person on purpose. And God says, you can't do that. You can't murder. And we've taken this idea of do not kill, do not murder, and we've kind of spread it out to mean different things and to stretch it out into different areas. And some of those areas are ethical dilemmas. And I'm willing to understand that. I'm willing to agree with you that these are some areas that we will struggle with, that we will have differing opinions on. I taught an ethics class years and years ago, and some of these very things came up. For example, what do you do with war? Is there such thing as just war? So a lot of people struggle with the idea of war and being passive or fighting and not fighting, and they say, well, God said don't kill. And so they expand that to meaning we should not have war. That's an ethical dilemma. I'm not dealing with that today. Another ethical dilemma that some of us get into is, what about capital punishment? Like, can the government kill you back if you kill somebody? And that's an ethical dilemma. Is does the government have a right to execute criminals? And some of you would say, absolutely. Some of you say, no way. Again, that's an ethical dilemma, and I really think that is outside the bounds of what this scripture is talking about. Some even take it further to say, well, if it says don't kill any kind of animal, don't kill any kind of thing, and so we should be vegetarians, and we should be vegans, and we shouldn't kill animals at all, and I wonder if they live in Louisiana, and if they swat mosquitoes. Just a question. Have you ever gotten a cold or an infection and went and got antibiotics because that kills bacteria? Even though you can't see them, they're still an animal. And so it makes you wonder, do you really mean don't kill anything, or if you don't want to kill anything that you like? But again, that's outside the bounds of what I think God says. Don't murder. And what he's trying to do is trying to teach us that we need to love life. We are to love life. And God is trying to help us. Last week we talked about the idea of society and if that we respect one another, it builds up society. And that this is a basic building block of society, built into the fabric of society. The idea that life has dignity, and that human life should be respected, and that we don't have a right, that it is wrong for us to go around and kill people. And so God says, don't do it. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, talks about this. He talks about the idea of respect or loving life and to care about life. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you've heard him say, don't murder. And he says, that's good. But if any of you have looked at your brother and said, fool, or had hatred in your heart, you have already committed murder. And so we want you to love life, to care about the people around you. When God comes to Cain after he's killed his brother, and he says, hey, where's your brother? And Cain's reply is, am I my brother's keeper? And the implication of that is, God is saying, yes, you are. You are to love your brother. You are to respect your brother's life. You are to care about your brother. And so we love life We love the fact that God has given us life. We love the fact that God has given others life. And so we do stand on the fact that God says, do not murder. Do not commit murder. Do not plan to take someone else's life. That's a bedrock of society. Every civilized culture looks down upon murder. And our culture is the same way. But I think it goes a lot deeper than just don't take someone's life. Because when you don't take someone's life, you begin to love others. And the second thing I want us to understand is that not only do we love life and enjoy life and care about life, but we are also to respect life. That we respect the life that God gives us and He gives other people. If you look in the book of Genesis chapter 9, again, God is trying to help people understand why we're not to kill people. And He gives us in the chapter, in verse 6 of chapter 9, He says, whoever sheds man's blood, his blood will be shed by men. So if you kill someone, they're going to kill you back. But don't do that. And He goes on to say why you don't do that at the end of that verse. He says, for God made man in His image. God made man in His image. So why is it important that we respect all life? Why is it that we respect all of humanity? Because all of humanity is made in God's image. If you go even further back in the book of Genesis, you see in chapter 3 that God has a conversation in the Godhead. And He says, hey, let us make man in our own image. And so they do. And here's the deal. There's a lot of debate on what does it mean to be made in God's image? Is it a functional thing? Is it just something we all have? The very basic idea of being made in God's image is that all of humanity is different than the rest of creation. You are different from a monkey, not just because you look different, not because you have less hair, not because you can talk in English or some other language or drive a car. You are different from every other animal because God made you different. He has made you in His likeness. And at the very core of humanity, we all have the likeness of God, regardless if we are sinners or not. Some may say, well, I'm a Christian now, and so I have God's likeness. But you who are not a Christian, you don't have God's likeness. It doesn't work that way. All of us, if we are human, have God's likeness. We are all made in God's image, regardless of our position in Christ. Regardless if we're a believer or not a believer, regardless if we go to church every week or don't go to church every week, regardless if we live in America or in some island off the coast of Asia, it doesn't matter. Humanity is made in the image of God. Therefore, there are some implications for that that are real life implications in our life. God says, don't murder, love life, respect life, and you say, great, I never killed anyone. Let me give you some implications for that. Let me give you four. Since most of you have never killed anyone that I know of, these are four real life situations that us respecting life and loving life need to be addressed. The first one is abortion. I know abortion is a hot-button topic. Some of you in this room may be supportive of abortion. Some of you may say, absolutely not, for no reason at all. Some of you may say, you can have an abortion at any time in your pregnancy for any reason, at all. Some of you may put some qualifications on that and say, well, only if there's a deformation or if the mother's going to die or if you know, there's another problem going on. Then you can have an abortion. There's a scale over there. There's a whole sweeping line that people fall on different places in the line. But I'm going to argue that if we love life, we have to hate abortion. And I know some of you may have had an abortion. Some of you may have been in a relationship where an abortion took place. And some of you may think that I'm scolding you and beating you down. Let me put it to you like this. I don't know of anybody who's had an abortion. I've never had a personal experience with anybody. I don't know of anybody in this room who's had an abortion, so I'm not fussing at an individual person. But I think if we're going to love life, we've got to hate abortion because abortion destroys life. And I know there's lots of debates of when does life begin. But if that human life has the potential to become a human, then we need to respect it from its earliest form. And so if you've been in this experience, maybe you've had an abortion, and I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. I just want you to know that there is forgiveness there. That you are still able to be loved by God. That you are still able to have forgiveness if you seek Him. But our stance on abortion needs to be no. I've never dealt with that. I've never preached that. I've never talked about it from up here, the idea that we should be against abortion, but it's in a position that I've always held. That because if we respect life, the implication of that is that we are going to be against things that don't respect life. And so a very important implication of us loving life and respecting life is that, number one, we cannot support abortion. And I know there's lots of opinions out there. Again, I taught an ethics class at a Christian college, and the opinions were all over the board. But I think if we understand Scripture, we understand the command, we've got to hate abortion. The second thing that I think that there's an implication for is suicide. That the idea that some of you today may be thinking about, or maybe you have thought about, the idea of taking your own life. And I know there's lots of theological questions with that, but let me just say here for the point of today's message, the idea that we are to love life and to respect life, you need to love and respect your own life. And that if you're struggling with suicide, please reach out and talk to someone. I know that there are real factors in people's lives. There are legitimate things that go on to us that gets us down and gets us in deep depression and gets us hurting, and where we say, there's nothing for me to live for. If I was just gone, things would be easier for those around us. And you struggle with depression and hatred of yourself and suicide. For you, you think it's a real option. But let me speak to your heart today. Your life is worth living. Will you please talk to someone about it? Suicide is taking our own life. On the other side of that coin is euthanasia. And euthanasia is taking the life of someone else. Not in a, they're going to die and they're on a ventilator. I know lots of people, they have these dilemmas as well, of where, you know, if they're not on a ventilator, they're going to die, and so you've got to decide, do I take them off the ventilator or not? Is that killing them? Is that euthanasia? What is that? When I talk about euthanasia, I'm talking about taking the life of someone who still has life to live. A few months back, there was an article of a guy who struggled with alcohol. And he had decided he was never going to beat alcohol. And he lived in a country in Northern Europe. I can't remember exactly the name of the country now. But in that country, euthanasia is legal. And so he decided, he was in his 50s, that he had struggled with alcohol his whole life, and that he could not overcome alcohol. He was never not going to be addicted to alcohol. That he decided that it was better for him just to take his life and be over with. And so he brings the doctor in, and they have a doctor-assisted suicide, which is euthanasia. And at the age of 50-something years old, he takes his own life, or he gives his life away, because he feels like he can never overcome the addiction. And I would argue your life is still worth living. So number one, don't take your own life. Your life is worth it. And secondly, don't take the life of someone who still has life to live. Now again, I think that's different than in a medical situation. I'm talking about someone who still has plenty of life to live, and we say, I'm going to get rid of you just because it's easy. That, in all intents and purposes, is murder. Premeditated killing of someone. The third area where I think that there are real life implications for us is in the area of racism. And you may think, how in the world did you get here? Because if we all are made in God's image, and we are all to respect life, and we all to love life, then shame on us if we hate someone because they look different than you. Shame on you if you think you have more value because your hair is shaped in a different way or does something different than someone else. Shame on you if you think that you are better than someone because your accent is different than theirs. And at the heart of the thing, God says they are made in my image, and you have no right to hate them because they have my likeness in them. So if we're going to love life and if we're going to respect life, we've got to hate racism. We've got to hate the idea that we are better than someone because we are different than them. We've got to hate the idea that we find ourselves thinking pride, filled with pride and thinking ourselves better than them because we have a different skin tone, or we have a different amount of money in our pocket, or we have a different shape in our face. Shame on us. And the church has got this wrong from the beginning. Tony Evans, who's a very well-known pastor in the Dallas area, wrote a book called Racism Embraced, I think. It's in my office. You want to look at it, I'll show it to you. I can't think of the name of it. Oneness Embraced, that's the name of it. Oneness Embraced. And he makes this statement that just, it cuts my heart every time I hear it or every time I think about it. He says, the world will never get racism right until the church does. You hear that? The world will never get racism right until the church does. God forgive us for being racist in the church. They were made in your likeness. Others are made in your image. Others have the same dignity and worth and value than me. And just because they have a different hair color or a different skin tone means nothing, that we are all one in Christ. And if we're to love life and if we're to love and respect people, we've got to hate racism. And the last way I think that there's a very practical implication for us is in evangelism. Evangelism's a churchy term, I know. You may want not know exactly what it means, but it means sharing your faith. It means going and telling others about Jesus. The word evangelism comes from the word euangelion, which means good news, which is our word for gospel. And we want to share the gospel. We want a good news, people. We want to tell them about who God is. We want to tell them the good news of Jesus. And if we're to love life and if we're to love people and we're to respect life and respect people, we've got to make sure that everybody knows about the good news of Jesus Christ. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China. He was one of the first missionaries that actually began to dress like the Chinese and try to help them understand that he wasn't better than them just because he dressed different. He tried to fit into their culture and try to kind of blend in so that the side of him would not be off-putting. So he would kind of dress like them, and he would be more welcomed, and so that he could share the gospel with them. It's called contextualization now in missions. But Hudson Taylor, one time he's out there and he's telling and he's sharing Christ in a Chinese village. And he shares Christ with a man, and the man comes to Christ. And he asks this question. He says, "How long have you known? Or how long has your country," Hudson Taylor's from England, "how long have y'all had this knowledge?" And Hudson Taylor said, "We've been knowing, you know, for thousands of years, hundreds of years, that Jesus came to earth as a human. God himself became a human, that he lived a perfect life, that he died, and that he rose again. We've been knowing that for hundreds of years." And the demeanor of the man just failed. He says, "My father searched for many decades looking for purpose in life. He tried Buddhism. He tried everything. And no one told him about Jesus. And he died without ever hearing about Jesus. You've been knowing about him for hundreds of years. What has taken you so long to come here?" There are still people in the world who have never heard the name Jesus. They have no idea that Jesus came, that he lived a perfect life, that he gave his life, that he rose again, that he offers them forgiveness. They have no clue. And they are going to die and go to hell just the same way as this man's father did, because we've not gone tell. If we're going to love people and we're going to respect life, if we're going to say that life is of value, we've got to make sure people know that their Creator loves them and wants them and wants them to be his children and wants them a part of his family. We've got to tell people the good news. There's so much more to this command than "don't kill someone on purpose." If I'm not going to kill someone on purpose, that means I've got other implications in my life. It means I've got to love people. It means I've got to respect life. It means I've got to hate abortion. I've got to hate suicide. I've got to hate euthanasia. I've got to hate racism. I've got to hate the fact that we stay home and we refuse to share the gospel with people around us. And I wonder, how many times have you told people about the hope that you have? How many times have you told people about the God that lives inside you? Some of you have never done it. And I don't want to shame you, but I want to say, if you really have hope on the inside, you've got to share it with others. If not, we are condemning people to eternal death. While we may not take their physical life, we are not offering them spiritual life. And God has called us to share the good news. Will you share the good news? There may be some of you here today, you've heard the good news. You know that Jesus came, you believe it in a mindset, but you've never given him your life. And you say, I'm just going to know about God. And you miss heaven. You miss eternal life by 18 inches. You know about God, but you don't know God. You've not given him your life. You've not given him your all. And I want to offer you that today. Will you follow him? Will you come? Will you love life enough to give God yours? As Drake plays, you respond to God. As Drake plays, you think about these implications for your life. And maybe there are some of these that you've got to say you're sorry of. If you want me to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. If you want someone else to pray with you, will you grab someone and pray with them? If you want to pray by yourself up here at the altar, we welcome you. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, I'd love to talk with you about that. So as Drake plays, will you stand and respond?